Mayor Becker, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm Ted Becker, Mayor of Lewis, address 221 Second Street, Lewis. Thank you for your interest and your ongoing interest, and you can see this room is full. Concern about this project and the overall development of the lands bordering the city. I'm joined here this afternoon by Mr. Darren Gordon, the General Manager of the Board of Public Works, so the two of us will share with you our areas of concern as they emerged as we reviewed and evaluated the proposed project and its potential impact on the city. Also joining us here this afternoon are two members of council who are observing and participating and have participated in the development of the presentation I am about to present. Allow me to start by saying that the reduced size of the project to 75,000 square feet is an important and highly valued step in the right direction. We are all very pleased with the reduction and applaud the developer for making this change. It does reflect the hearing of what our concerns were. However, the Lewis City Council and the Board of Public Works continue to have major concerns about the impact of the project and even in its reduced size. First, the traffic increase will be significant. The development has already been approved. Developments that have already been approved will likely produce an 18 to 39% increase. Even using a conservative 20% number, there are major concerns about roads and intersections in the vicinity of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road that they will exceed capacity. And I think that you can already begin to see some of that. When the project's projected increase to 3,985 vehicle trips, average daily trips, and 4,782 peak season daily trips are considered, the concept of failure seems guaranteed. The fact that the applicant's traffic study was based on a 2006 data that is a decade old and has not been updated other than what was referred to earlier by the applicant gives us some concern. As a result, the City of Lewis contracted with ERM, Environmental Resources Management, to provide a current assessment of the traffic area. And you have in the brochure that I've given you, and I believe you also have another copy, of the traffic study that ERM did. It was reviewed by a licensed Delaware traffic engineer named Paul Sarbin, who was here during for the Planning and Zoning Commission. This report addresses the current development as well as a projected village center using 2015 to 16 data of traffic counts provided by DelDOT. This report is all included in your information. The development along this corridor and the impact of the development will have on the City of Lewis access to Cape May Lewis Ferry and the Cape Penelope State Park has been a concern for many years. I've provided a copy of another report from 2002 called Integrated Land Use Transportation Observations for Coastal Sussex County. This report was a product of a workshop sponsored by the University of Delaware Sea Grant Program and the Greater Lewis Foundation. This workshop was conducted 14 years ago with the participation of then Senator Gary Simpson, who was representing the district, and then Representative State John Schroeder, who was representing the district as well. That workshop produced a report, and I would note that at the time of that presentation in 2008, there was never any discussion about a 30-year long-range plan being existent for the parcels along Gills Neck Road that we've heard earlier today. Although the report was broadly disseminated and discussed in 2002, there has been no appreciable action taken to address the issues identified in the report. These issues included transportation and land use topics, which remain at the forefront of discussion today, as we've heard earlier, and are largely the concern of the overall community. Reports such as these are helpful and can be predictive of what might become a larger problem in the future. The action recommended in 2002 was the county, the state, and interested parties, including the public, should initiate discussions to identify alternatives to develop land use and transportation plans and to establish priorities for growth and development. However, there's been very little action based on the recommendations in this report. In fact, there's not even been an effort to convene a group that was suggested in the report. This application underscores the importance of taking action. We should not wait any longer to get started. In fact, this should be the impetus for getting started immediately. Approval of this upzoning request will set a precedent for similar projects for other large tracts of undeveloped lands, potentially causing even further deterioration of the traffic flow. The impact of the development will be seen in increasing time, response times for our EMS, poorer access to, or more difficult access to BB, and police, as well as the reduction in the ability to have swift, orderly evacuation of Lewis and its beaches in a catastrophic situation. I am certain that each of you are aware that Lewis, Cape May Ferry, and the Cape and Lovett State Park, individually and collectively, are major contributors to the state's tourism-based economy. It is a vital part of the state's overall economy. In fact, I believe the area is identified as being in the top four areas of the state's ecotourism. So access remains critical. As a result, as traffic along King's Highway corridor deteriorates, the flow of traffic will become more difficult. Streets will be used for alternative routes for people to get to their desired destinations. I can tell you that there was an error made by Google earlier this summer where they identified the best way to get to Lewis was come in New Road. The resulting nearly day-long traffic jam on New Road and Pilottown Road not only was felt throughout the community, but created havoc at the Savannah Road Bridge. Also this summer, more than any other prior year, we've seen residential neighborhood streets being used as cut-throughs by travelers trying to avoid long lines of backed-up traffic on King's Highway and Savannah Road. In particular, Cape Henlopen Gardens, which is only a few hundred feet from the access to this project, this proposed project, has had a major increase in cut-throughs this year. It results in a compromised living conditions for the people who are living in that development, and we heard that at the Planning Commission. King's Highway and Gills Neck Road are both part of the Scenic Historic Corridor Management Plan, which has been approved by DLDOT and Lewis, and most recently by this body, as was noted earlier. This plan encourages contact-sensitive design principles be employed in any development along this corridor, as such design can add value to the adjacent properties and business. Excessive development along this corridor could be counterproductive to those values expressed in the corridor management plan. It has been known that much of the total parcel of the entire 11.66 acres under consideration is also over our prime recharge area. Darren Gordon, the Board of Public Works General Manager, will provide some comments on the water, as was predicted, and I would turn the podium over to Darren to offer you some comments on the water, and I'll come back and sum up. Thank you very much.
Darren? Council members, I believe that the mind can only understand what the end can endure, so I'm going to try and go as quickly as I can and be as brief as I can. I stand before you somewhat as a beggar because it's not my, our wellheads are located in the county and we have no authority, we have no way of enforcing anything, so we're here asking you to help protect that water. Our water is a priceless value to us. We know that we have to have water in any community. As this began, you've got a plethora of information in front of you. So I'll break down the science real easy. The sky rains. It hits the ground, goes down through the ground, hits our aquifers, we pump it out, drink it, and use it. There's no argument between us, between the developer and ourselves on this situation. What we differ in is how important that is to us. 15 years ago, if there had been a problem, actually what happened in the 1970s, where our wells were down in the middle of town, we had a problem with saltwater intrusion. And because of that, we moved out. We moved away from the ocean into that new aquifer. And we've been operating from there. It's wonderful. It's great water. It's beautiful water, some of the best in the world. But where would we go now? You kind of wonder, they asked and said, why on earth are they even throwing a fit? They didn't say anything when the high school did something. That was actually happened prior to your own stormwater section 89, I believe. Or at least it was about that very, very same time. So we've been trusting, and we do, we trust in you, the county, to help protect us, and that's why we're standing here today. Where would we go if we mess up this one? There's no other, you know, you've seen the maps that they've provided. They own all the properties around that's going to be developed, and there's going to be houses built and storefronts built. Where would we go? We do not have another easy fix. We've got to protect what we've got, and so that's what I'm asking you to consider today. I understand also that I do not want to sit in your chair. You're being asked a very difficult question, kind of like Solomon to split the baby, to do the right thing for all of us, and I understand that completely. And one of the things, as I've watched this, and I believe you just had that letter read to you that you just received from DENREC, the biggest problem has been communication. Mr. Baird is probably the one that wrote, Byard, not Baird, is probably the one that wrote your own, this very zoning document while he was with the county.
I can assure you that wasn't the case.
That's not the case? Hallelujah. I'll simply say he knows it very, very, very well. And he's brought it to you, and you have one choice today. It's up or down. But what I'm telling you is that this is way too complicated for an up, for that was the wrong way to go. There needs to be communication where we work together to make the very best of all of this. And there's been none of that. And that letter takes and enforces that. When I went to the zoning, there were five things which I requested, five things that we are concerned about. And I offered them, and I'm going to go through them very quickly today. Number one, there's such a thing as an incompatible tenant. Now, you've already asked the question, and they brought it up. They've stood here and said, there's no way you're going to have a gas station. There's no way we're going to have a dry cleaner. Cross my heart, I promise. The problem with that is the other thing I would say is you go back on the presentation, how many of these properties have they built and sold, built and sold? Once this zoning is changed, the next person can come in and we don't have any control of that. And I'm sorry, but we don't do business that way. We do it with contracts, we do it with covenants, we do it with something in writing. Because of that, you have two things. AR1 that says it is for the protection of many things, agriculture, etc., watershed water resources. That's where we are now in that AR1 on that zone. It is specifically for our protection. Number two, they're asking you to go to B1, which says in 115-69, permitted use, A, down to number 10 and number 11. Number 10 is for a dry cleaner. Number 11 is for a filling station. And I hope that we're not willing, they're great men, not going to disparage them, but that we don't do business that way. So with that alone, I suggest that we give a no, a thumbs down on this rezoning. Four other things that I would ask for. Number one is that we talk about best management practices. That means that there is quality engineering, quality ways of designing this, that we could have an exceptional development, something there. And it can be done. The Board of Public Works is not anti-growth. It is not anti-development. But we want it done right to protect our water. And it can be done. Number three, we'd ask that there be monitoring. At the planning and zoning, I said that our hydrologists agreed with theirs. The papers that I've given you shows that they did not mention that. Their hydrologists did not. That's fine. I still believe it must be monitored. If there's going to be a problem that's going to be coming our way from that development,
Monitoring for water quality and water quantity, both
of those. We're looking at piezometer, that then be able to take pole samples so that we can tell what's coming our way. It's kind of like a weatherman. We want to know when the storms are coming. We want to prepare for that. Number four, one of my concerns also is that they are asking for this rezoning on 11 acres. It is smack dab, 100% of that 11 acres is in our wellhead protection area. They're pulling it out of tax parcel, I believe it's 335.00-12.003. There's actually 66 acres there. What are they going to do with the rest of it? Number four, we ask that they move it as far away from our wells as possible. We have that 100-foot safe zone. That's our safe zone. That means nobody can build inside of that so long as we're covered it. Okay? But outside of that, that wellhead protection area, that larger 66 acres is 90% of that 66 acres is in our wellhead protection area. So it's going to be coming back to you. I also have another concern of 335.00-12.2. That's the one that's across the road. It's about 35 acres. And while Mr. Townsend is gracious and hasn't done anything yet, I'm concerned that that protection has to come. And these are some of the conditions I believe fit finally. Number five, and this is the tough one, and how they can fight, and this one we'll all kind of scratch our head. I want an escrow. One of the biggest problems that I see is we have used one of the most fantastic and good best management practices that you use in stormwater is pervious pavement and pervious pavers. It works very well. The rain hits it actually goes through, hits our aquifers, it's fantastic. It works so long as it's maintained and managed. Within 3, 4, 5 years, those things get full, especially if they're not managed. There's under drains if they're not managed and cleaned. There are swells that if they're not managed and cleaned, they stop working. So what might work today in 5 years and 10 years doesn't. Who has the authority to fix that? Again, I'm standing here as the beggar. I don't have any authority to enforce that or push them or make them do that. You do. How do you motivate them? It's either the heart or the hip. And that escrow will help them maintain their properties as it should be. Now that's a big out. That's a big ask. But those are five things that I believe are reasonable, common sense, and that the Board of Public Works could live with as we go forward. A couple of comments that I would like to simply address. You're shown a map on how all the other well guys, they didn't care. We'll build what you want around them. Just because it was done wrong then doesn't mean we got to do it wrong now. Okay? That's plain set. I think, Ms. Deaver, you said exactly that.
My grandmother said.
And I agree. Let's do it right. I'm asking you to do just that. Mr. Barrett has said that the high school, we allowed all that to happen. I think I've already addressed that. Different time, different place, but let's do it right now. The other thing that was said at the planning and zoning is that no, it's not our job to protect your water. I hope and I believe by you sitting here and talking with me that in your hearts that the protection of our water is absolutely essential and number one on your list, and I thank you for that. The other thing that was said is at the planning and zoning, they said, well, why don't you buy it? Why don't you go buy that property, right?
Good question.
Yeah. Question is, it'll cost us probably at least $30 million or more to do that. Is that the way we do business?
Why not?
If we're gonna protect ourselves,
If you think this is so important, why don't you buy it?
Okay. Where are we gonna get $30 million? Do you wanna put $30 million tax on the citizens of Lewis to protect their water, to have the little old lady who's next to the big giant, who's to protect her? I will tell you that it's government's job. This is where it needs to be done. What's right is what's got to prevail, not who has the most money.
Sir?
Yes.
This man pumped over 37 million gallons of water out of that well a year. How come you think we're short of water all of a sudden? When the actors down there, we don't know what's below us anyway. I don't care how anything 40 feet below us, you never know what's below us.
You're absolutely right. Thank you. You are absolutely right. And we don't know what's going on under there. And that's why I'm saying let's get that escrow, because if in 10 years, if in 20 years nothing's gone on, we can have an agreement with them that says they reduce that until it's gone. But if it happens, where do we go? And I can't tell you. I cannot, and there's not a hydrologist out there that can tell you exactly what's happening in that water. You're right. But what happens when it's gone?
Well, I'm a little familiar with this because I have irrigation systems.
You're a farmer, absolutely.
Probably pumps millions of gallons a day.
Yep.
And I never pump it dry. There's plenty of good water in there.
So it's never going to go bad?
I don't think so.
Can I take your word for it?
Our water actually comes all the way from New York all the way down.
Yep.
And evidently, what does it make it salt if you don't pump all the water you want out of bay?
That's right. Well, and that's just it. When you start adding pumps here or adding water here,
right.
One of the things that Mr. Lardner said is that the farm would give us an extra 18 million gallons. On an annual basis, we pump from 400 to about 470 million gallons a year. Now, that 18 million is right around 4% of that, and that'd be great. We'd love to have it. But I also think it would be fine to leave it there. Because when that changes, that's going to change what's over here and over here and over here. And that might be exactly what brings the salt water into our water. I don't know. I do not know. I will tell you absolutely, I don't know what's going to happen to that water. But if it is harmed, why should the people of Lewis pay for it?
Well, my neighbor one time was pumping water. He pumped nothing but iron water. I pulled the water up. I pulled the well up about 20 feet, changed water completely. It's, aquifers runs everywhere. You don't know.
They sure do.
Nobody knows. And when it comes salt water, who knows where it's at?
You are absolutely right. I agree.
I got a question for you. The wellhead protection ordinance that we have, do you think it will protect you or will not protect you?
I think it will help, but not to the degree that I believe it should.
All right.
And I'm sorry.
I just want to follow up with Janelle real quick. Our ordinance, Janelle, he's claimed that this whole site, 11 acres, is 100% in the wellhead protection zone. How do we address that with our ordinance and an application such as this? I mean, we're not going to make it all one big impervious area, right?
Again, they would have to address and comply with the ordinance if they go through any site plan. Any use on their property would actually have to comply with the source water protection overlay zone. And depending on the uses and where they are, there are different requirements about impervious surfaces.
Okay, but I didn't realize, I guess, or didn't think about it, but it's being 100% in the site wouldn't it have a different impact, I guess, on this ordinance and the application? I mean, I don't know. We'll look into it. We'll get more information.
Yeah, and there's a couple different things that come into play with how a site's developed. There's standards for redevelopment of properties. There's standards for new development of properties.
Okay.
There's percentages of impervious area that you're allowed to have, and then you can exceed that as long as you meet or exceed the recharge.
So our ordinance will not prevent the development of this property?
Not under any circumstances.
Under any, okay.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
But it would affect, the way it's built. Is that correct?
However anybody builds on this property, even under the AR1 zone, yes. Mm-hmm. The site plan would come in because it's all in that wellhead protection zone.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to comply with our ordinance as to impervious cover and everything else.
May I make another comment, please? I want to reiterate that I was there. I was active in watching the county council when they adopted that ordinance, and it fell very short of what the state wanted of us. And I had another thing I have to say is, sitting here watching all this in the county and the town not working together, we've got to do better than this. This is disgraceful. Just awful. This is terrible. And then third thing is, what is your idea of an escrow? What are you talking about, a bond, or what are you talking about on an escrow?
That's something we could sit down. I would sit down with the developer and come up with this,
right.
Just exactly that what we felt would be something that if it were to have saltwater intrusion, what would kind of treatment would be required for us to install to have that done.
Okay.
And there would be, I mean, so there's, I would leave that to engineers. I would let someone that is, you know, I'm not just grabbing numbers out of the air. It would take some real engineers to look at that.
Okay.
Let me tell you that I'm only going to disagree just a little bit with you on us working with the county. It's not just us with the county, but it's us with the developer. I really think that, you know, this, I see that there was another, Mr. Lardner said there was another hydrology report. I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I got the other one because the mayor and I and Mr. Lardner were sitting in the back of a room 3 days before the planning and zoning meeting saying, oh, by the way, we've got this report. Wow, that's great to know that. I'd love to see a copy. And so there's some communication that has been shut there as well. So I don't want to beat up the county on this all. Just there. The other thing I would say is in the packet of information we provided you, there's two things. Number one, there's a letter from DENREC, I believe in 2009, where they said they would like to see the county stormwater protection enhanced, the wellhead protection enhanced. So they have stated that they felt that the county's regulations were a little bit weak. And the other thing is, if you look in the PLUS review, same thing. They said that this is a place where it could and should go above and beyond the current county standards.
Well, our attorneys are going to have to give us counsel on we're having a zoning change, and all these things are well and good, and we probably do not have the ability to do any of these things in a zoning change. Now then, is there any ability for the county at the planning and zoning and the site plan approval process or any and other steps if the change of zone occurred that some of these issues that the town has raised and maybe some of these other this other opposition and the council or the Planning Zoning Commission feels that they're important, is there a way to place upon them some conditions?
Well, first of all, it's going to depend on what the site plan looks like, whatever come in with.
Of course.
And there already are, as I said, requirements with the source water protection ordinance. You know, it's going to depend at that point, you know, what discussions happening with the developer, with the county, and with the city at that point.
An example, Vince, would just be when he mentioned monitors on the wells. Could Planning and Zoning Commission impose upon a site plan approval process that the developer have monitors on their well to determine quality and quantity? Is that anything in the scope of what we have the ability to do?
Not typically on a site plan. What I will do is look at the source water protection ordinance because it talks about some things like that, and I'll see if that's
okay,
part of what would happen as part of that source water review at the time a site plan comes in. There's some latitude, you know, but...
Well, that's what we need to know as a council before we, you know, venture down this path.
I have one more, if you have.
Abram.
Thank you for your patience. Well, as far as the county and the town are concerned, the county's a heavy hitter, you know.
Yes.
And we do lack in that we have a long way to go with our ordinances and our zoning laws. We've come a long way, but we have a long way to go because look where we are. I know that the PLUS report had a long, had a lot of comments, let's say, about our source water protection ordinance as it relates to this application. Would that be appropriate to read that out, what the state said, what Genrec said about this application and our source water ordinance? Would that be appropriate?
Are you talking? I was looking at the source
water. PLUS report.
The PLUS report. That's part of the record. It certainly is.
I'm talking, well, publicly.
Well, I mean, we certainly can, but it's part of the public record already. I mean, reading it doesn't make it more of the record. It certainly brings people's attention to it.
Well, this is not a personal comment, but it hasn't done much good. And that's, I'm just saying, this is what we have, and we're not doing well. We're talking about somebody's water. Very serious. And not your fault.
No. Thank you.
And I will conclude.
I am not quite yet.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Not quite yet. Mr. President, may I?
Certainly.
A few things here. I first and foremost wanted to thank the mayor and yourself and the others that are here today. I think it's really important that we have proper representation here from all parties. And so I really appreciate your time and that you've spent. I think it's invaluable. So your residents are served very well. So seriously, thank you. A few things. Number one, also, Councilwoman Deaver, I think the comment that you were referenced, that we're not partnering as a council, cannot be less accurate because of one person's opinion. I will tell you, I have received several calls prior to today from several residents, and I've met with every one of them in this audience that I've ever received a call from that has had the desire to meet and toured this area and had the conversations and have had the walks and have had lunch. So I think as a council, me personally, I can speak that we are reaching out and we are partnering with those who care. Because as a council, we represent all residents of this county, and so therefore that's why we've done that. I think that's highly important. So, you know, Councilman Wilson has his opinion. He's allowed for that, but I don't think it's totally reflective of this council. So I just want to make sure that was shared.
May I respond?
But he has the floor.
When he's done.
So I think that was that. I think also earlier it was referenced to, you know, in your earlier dissertation presentation that, you know, if we as a council you know, perhaps approve this or not, that we feel that water is less important to us than you. I don't think that's an accurate and fair assessment.
I'll take the beating on that.
Okay. Because
right.
I do listen. And I think words have meanings.
Yes.
And so, to me, I care deeply. I think we all do. We're here to make good judgment decisions based on facts and not emotions. That's what we are to do. So we do care. No matter what this decision is, we do care.
You got it.
When he's still on the floor. Oh, when he's got it all held down.
He's pausing.
Yeah, truly.
Well, there's a lot of information here, right? So I think that's what this is for. So the town of Lewis has its own town water protection ordinance.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So could you share with me, water is pumped out of this well, right?
Yes.
What happens to the water? Could you share, explain that process of how the water comes from this well and then to the residents of the town?
We have five wells. They're on Wellfield Lane. They are, we take that water, we treat it right at the wellhead. We have a new facility we built. We put chlorine in it. We put fluoride in it. We put a pH adjustment in it. That then comes out through pipes, 16-inch pipe that comes out to Savannah Road, 12-inch pipe that comes out to Kings Highway. That transmission line then carries it through the county till it hits our CPCN, where our first customers are, and then we distribute it from there. That's how it goes.
So you do treat it,
yes,
as you mentioned, right at the well. So
yes.
How? So are you monitoring that water as it comes out?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I just because earlier it was mentioned that we're not monitoring it per se, or as it relates to what Council McColl had, you know, should we be monitoring it, right? So I mean, and you are monitoring
it. What kind of monitoring do you want? I mean, we check pH, we check temperature, we check that all of those chemicals are being added appropriately. We
right.
check the gallonage. We check on a monthly basis. We also check for all of the other organics, inorganics inside the system. We check for bacteria. We have that all done through the Office of Drinking Water, their auspices. We have the state law that we have to comply
right.
with. All of that is being done.
That's my point, is that it is being treated.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then, as it relates to the county's protection ordinance versus your county, or excuse me, town ordinance, you mentioned that ours is could be better.
Mm-hmm.
Could you compare the two? Talk to me about how yours, the town's, you sit on that board, how you protect your, in a simplified manner, okay? I think it's relevant, and maybe we should keep the record open for that, because I think it was referenced that our county's ordinance should be a little bit better. If yours is as good as it should be, I would like to know how we could do better.
I will tell you, frankly, probably isn't good as we should be if we had our wells in our own area. In other words, your wellhead protection ordinance came about in, what was the year? 2008. Mm-hmm. Ours was about the same time. Our wells at that time were no longer in our city. Our wellhead protection talks about the number of wells that are drilled. We don't allow irrigation wells inside the city limits. We address it more in that avenue because we know we're not taking our municipal water from those wells. So to apply ours to that, I would rather go with what DANREC recommends, because I believe they have the science behind it to that degree.
Right. I just, well, when somebody makes a comment that ours isn't quite where it should be,
absolutely,
I would ask for your thoughts on how or why. So
and the why really is because you as the county, you're our protector.
Right.
And we rely on that.
Right. Well, you are also your protector of your town, which is why you treat that water as well.
That's correct.
So just for the record. So
thank you. Yes.
Thank you for that. So and then the last point actually would be the mayor's, because I think he mentioned in his presentation about the traffic. And I want to make sure, because again, you had shared some numbers from a study that was presented, I think it was mentioned back in 06, if I'm not mistaken.
The study I referenced was the ERM study.
Please come back to the mic.
Get back to the mic there. Sorry about that, Mayor.
The study I mentioned was the ERM study, and you have a copy of it.
Okay. So because... I can read. I
can
read
that, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you for that. But when you just get it, you need time to review it, do you not? So, no, because I think it's very relevant. I mean, everybody has the concern for traffic. This is no surprise.
Right.
We all realize that DelDOT has to do a better job and pony up and do their part of this process. Nobody in this room is going to disagree with that.
Right.
The question really that I have is is this, as we heard from the applicant earlier, okay, the history from this parcel back when, okay, it was proposed to be a destination shopping area, correct? That's evolved from 500, and I'm not going to go through those numbers, as it has come down to 75,000 now proposed square feet. And so the question I have, and again, this is the concept of what we're talking about here, is a neighborhood shopping area. So therefore, it is, in theory, supposed to serve those in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So my point, though, is people that already live there in this neighborhood, they have to shop somewhere already. Right? So therefore, they have to get in their cars and drive out to somewhere to shop for whatever the case may be. In this case, you know, food. So that still is going to happen. So my point, though, is there really going to be more traffic because it's not a destination area? Meaning people off of Route 1 are not going to go in that area. Mostly it's supposed to serve the people of that area, right?
It may be, in theory, supposed to serve the area, but I think in reality it will serve a much larger area. If you look at the developments that are across Route 1,
right.
And the number of them that would gain access to through Clay Road or through coming coming up Route 1 rather than going south on Route 1, which is so heavily congested, it would may be easier for those individuals to come back and come to that shopping area rather than just the only folks that are along the Gills Neck Road corridor. Okay. So we do anticipate that it would create additional traffic.
Okay. Very good.
It would draw from other surrounding neighborhoods. And I believe that's part of the developer's theory as well.
Okay. Very good. Okay. I appreciate your thank you.
Mrs. Deaver.
I just want to say that to say we don't care or we care and we answer all the phones, what I'm talking about is we have some facts. The fact is that the source water protection ordinance that we have did not meet the state wishes in 2008. I'm very well aware of that fact, and it could be better. And now we have this application, and you know we're faced with it, and we're concerned about the water. And what we do have is a real concern from DENREC in the PLUS report. And I think it's very important what DENREC said. I think DENREC's done as much legally as they can do. I don't know if we have, but it's very important. We all care, but we kind of have an issue here to work on. And we all care.
Thank you.
Another question.
Mr. Wilson.
Why is this water treated? I really like to know that. Why is this water need to be treated?
Thank you very much. I appreciate the question. First of all, it's some of the best water in the world. It comes out of the ground at less than 220 to 180 parts per million total dissolved solids. Some of the bottled water you buy has more total dissolved solids than our water.
Get that on TV.
Is that because the sewer plant's close by? Is that why I'm going to
treat it? It's not. Thank you.
It's on the other side of the canal.
We put chlorine in it because state law requires that you have a disinfectant in it at the end of the line. So we put in right at one part per million chlorine. We also add fluoride. Fluoride is put in because the state requires it. It goes in at 0.72 parts per million to approximately 1.42 parts per million. And then we add caustic soda, which takes the pH from our water up to a 7, which is neutral, so that we don't have any of the problems in our system. So those are all done according to state law.
So soda is what? A little bit of salt?
Say that again, please. I missed
sodium.
We have sodium in there.
And that little bit of salt?
That's a little bit of salt, absolutely. Yeah. But we also monitor it, and we know exactly where it's going. We monitor chlorides, nitrates, nitrites. We follow the sodiums, follow the calciums, we have all of them, and then we follow all of the bacteria that might be involved. We also take, and there's another list of VOCs, volatile organic compounds. Those are things that come from vehicles, gasoline, oils, pesticides. We monitor all of those things.
I know you're exactly right, because I live on the old farm, and years ago we had a leak in our gas tank, and it leaked at least 100 feet to our wells.
That's a bad thing, isn't it?
It sure is. Yep. You know, we get rid of gas, it's just start digging.
Right. And removing.
And then put in your chicken manure and spread it in the field.
Got it.
And it's gone.
Okay. Any more questions of council?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
Governor. Thank just like to sum up a little bit, the City of Lewis and the Board of Public Works, we do oppose this request to upzone the 11.66 acres of the portion of the 65-acre without full disclosure and plans for the remaining 80% of this parcel. This parcel, those plans would have an additional impact on traffic and on water quality. I've provided a copy of the resolution the city adopted, and it's in your packet so you can read it more completely, but it does provide more detail as to why we came, how we came to that decision. I also believe that everyone here today understands this parcel is of great importance to both in terms of financial value and community benefit. It is clear that the approval of this request will add significant dollar value to the parcel. However, it should not come at the cost of the quality of life or the quality of water that is derived from the prime recharge area, and not only provides water for Lewis, but provides water for many of the surrounding communities. I would note that two of the parcels that were mentioned by Mr. Lardner earlier do get water from the city, and that is Wolf Point and Wolf Run. They get water directly from the city as well. The development plans should be the result of a process that ensures the entire community has been heard. Looking beyond this parcel, though, I think it's critical that the council look very seriously at developing a global plan to look at the entire Kings Highway corridor from Dartmouth to Freeman, and perhaps even beyond. This is the only way to ensure that we don't return to a scenario like we've been experiencing for the last several years. I believe that there are nearly 240 acres that are currently zoned AR1 along the Route 1, along the Kings Highway corridor. I would hate to think that we're going to be back here time and time again talking about this kind of situation as we talk about those 240 acres as they come in by various owners, some of which are the existing owner of this parcel. The future of Lewis community and the access to our historic character and the quality of our water is too important to be overlooked and set aside for the sake of development, 11.66 acres. We hope that you will consider our comments seriously. Thank you very much. I'll take any other questions.
Any questions?
One more comment.
Yes, sir.
I could probably say I was here long before you were.
Yes.
And maybe, I don't know, how many years have you lived here?
Almost 40, sir.
Almost 40. I've almost doubled that. And I can tell you that when I used to ride down the road with a bicycle. What I can't understand is this question. Why are we telling why got the governor advertising to tell people to come to Delaware? I mean, you actually see that advertising up in Harrisburg all the way up. From Pennsylvania, I can't even get here from people. Pennsylvania cars just wouldn't run over me. And we got to come from Pennsylvania, we got to come to New Jersey.
And New York and Massachusetts.
And Maryland all the way to Washington, D.C. In fact, when we advertise, say we don't want you to come no more. We got too many.
Yep.
You're saying what we're really saying is we got enough traffic. We don't need no more.
We have a tour.
We got to say we're going to somewhere else besides Lewis, right?
We have a terrific quality of life and a terrific environment.
You're telling one on one hand, you got enough people in Lewis, right?
All right, Sam, that's enough.
Thank you, sir.
I'm
before we go any farther, I do want to do.